first time, and I love hearing their story. So just raise your hand if you're the kind of person who likes meeting new people. All right, some of you don't, all right? Some of you might be a little bit more shy than me. One thing we all like doing, I guess, is listening to stories and hearing the stories of people's lives. And it was great earlier on, wasn't it, hearing a little bit of Joy's up-to-date story as she's been over there on the Isle of Man. I want to introduce you today to four people, I want to share with you their stories, okay? And I'm going to have to stick quite closely to my script because I've got some words that will cue Jeff in to put some pictures on the screen that'll help tell the story. So hopefully we'll have some pictures coming up behind me as we go. Here is the first person that I want to introduce you to. Her name, coming up on the screen there, is Mrs. Chalk. Anyone guess what Mrs. Chalk does for a living? What's her job? A teacher, that's absolutely right. No, she doesn't advertise toothpaste. She is a teacher. She's a very, very hard-working woman. Sometimes when she goes to work, she is a little bit old-fashioned and she likes to put one of these on her head. She's up to date, though, in many other ways. She's a wonderful teacher. She's very, very efficient indeed. And her register has received special Ofsted awards. One day, Mrs. Chalk gave up being a teacher. And do you know what she did? Mrs. Chalk went to school as one of these instead. That's right. She went to school as a pupil. Mrs. Chalk, the famous teacher, became a school pupil. And you ought to be thinking in your mind, what a crazy thing to do. Can you say that? What a crazy thing to do. Has that ever happened in your school? No. So that's Mrs. Chalk. Here is the second person I want to introduce you to. His name is Mr. Bunn. He's very well loved in his town. When he goes to work, he wears a wonderful hat, which his son sometimes likes to borrow. What do you think Mr. Bunn's job is? He's a baker, that is absolutely right. He's a baker, and he bakes the best bread for miles around. People queue for hours outside of his bakery. But do you know what? Each day after work, Mr. Bunn puts on his normal clothes, and he goes out, and he joins the queue outside of his bakery to buy bread. And you say, what a crazy thing to do. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Yeah.
No. Well, you have now.
Yeah.
You have. Good on you. What are you drawing down there? Are you taking notes of my sermon? That's a fine picture. Is that of me? Yeah. Do you want to show it to everybody? Lift it up. Show it at the back. That is a fine picture of me. So we have now met five people today. Here is the third person that I want to introduce you to. His name is Mr. Brick. He worked, and I'll give you a clue, he worked as a brickie. I'll tell you what he did. He was a brickie on a building site. But he did so well, he was so good at his job, he became an important manager. And he was so good at that, that he actually ended up owning the whole company and living in a large house in the country. But you know what? One day, Mr. Brick gave it all up. He gave up his fancy clothes, his house, his car, and he went to live in the street. He made his home under some newspapers. Can you imagine that? you say, what a crazy thing to do. Well, the fourth person that I want to introduce you to is God. I don't have a picture of God. I'm sorry, we can't get a picture of him. No one actually knows what he looks like. But if you think what Mrs. Chalk did was crazy, if you think that what Mr. Bun did was mad and crazy, if you think that what Mr. Brick did was unbelievably crazy, then listen in to what God did. Listen in to what God did. He gave up the splendor of heaven. He gave up the absolute wonder of the most perfect and most beautiful place. He gave up absolute power. He gave up absolutely everything. And he came to earth. As Stan read in our reading a moment ago, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, that means that the tiny fetus in Mary's womb was God. It means that the tiny baby born was God stepping out of heaven and coming to live on earth. A man called Augustine said this: he was created of a mother whom he created. He was carried by hands that he formed. He cried in the manger in wordless infancy. He, the Word, without whom all human eloquence is mute. You see, if you ask Sue Cooper here, how do you know God exists? She says, as a midwife, it's not my fault I was born in the wrong era. If I'd been born in the right era, I could have been his midwife. Or you go to some lad like Jonathan here. His dad loves football. And say in 7 or 8 years' time, you could go to young Jonathan and say, Jonathan, how do you know God exists? And he could say, I played football with him once. Well, I could have done if I'd been born in the right era at school. Jesus gave up being in heaven where he was loved, where he was respected and honoured, to become a human being who was disliked, who was misunderstood and rejected, and ultimately, eventually, he was murdered. And you say, what a crazy thing to do. Why did he do it? What was the attraction? Did he look down from heaven and think to himself, hey, those people on earth, they look really cool. I just got to get down there and hang with them. Is that what he thought? No. Why did he bother? Was it to say that God can be known? Yeah, partly. Was it to say that God wants to be known? Yes, partly. What was the big reason for coming? You see, he didn't come to boost our self-esteem. He didn't come to stop our loneliness by offering us the most intimate of his own friendship. He didn't come to give us purpose when we sometimes think our lives are pointless. He didn't come to give us courage when we face struggles and hardships and temptations. Though I must say, although those aren't the main reasons, he does give us all of those things and more. He does give us those things and more. So you can read through the Bible and that word, that name, Emmanuel, the phrase, God with us, is repeated in a variety and wonderful different ways. You go to someone like Moses who single-handedly, although it wasn't because God said he would be with him, took on the world's superpower. And then the guy who followed him was called Joshua, and he had to step into Moses' size 15 spiritual shoes. And God said, I will be with you. And you think of Jeremiah, a prophet, who went through such torturous times. He fell apart. He fragmented emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And he was able to say, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. And you go to the end of Matthew's Gospel and it ends with the same phrase. Jesus saying, I will be with you. Read the book of Acts. And our God, with by His Spirit, was with those adventurous first disciples as they took the message of Jesus across the known world there. And many of them died. In fact, most of them died for their faith. But they knew God with us. Read through the rest of the New Testament, all the letters written by the Apostle Paul, and read, do it through January. Each day, read another phrase in the New Testament where Paul uses that phrase, in Christ. What it is to be known by God, to be in Him, and to know His presence in your life. Emmanuel. So yes, God promises those things, and even more. A famous author, A.W. Tozer, said this, we need never shout across the spaces to an absent God. He is nearer than our own soul, closer than our most secret thoughts. And another famous preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, said this, God with us is the sufferer's comfort, eternity's sonnet, heaven's hallelujah, the shout of the glorified, and the song of the redeemed. Yes, God promises to be near us, to comfort us, and to walk through whatever life faces us with, to walk through us through life. These are wonderfully true words, and I encourage us all to really take them to heart. But they are not the main reason that Jesus came. The main reason why He came is the reason that He can give all those other things. The clues in that last phrase of Spurgeon that I quoted a moment ago. The song of the redeemed. That's what He came to do, to redeem us. You see, if God stayed in heaven, He would never, ever have been able to truly demonstrate that He loved you. If He'd stayed in heaven, He would never have been able to show that He really loves us. He would never have been able to die in order to save us from our sin. That is why He came. Emmanuel, God with us. You shall call Him Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. So you say, what a crazy thing to do. No, what a wonderful thing. Well, crazy in one sense, but amazing and wonderful. And also very humbling. If you are already a follower of Jesus, then I want to say this to you. And if you don't yet follow Jesus as your Savior, as Emmanuel, if you don't yet know God with you, then I want to encourage you today to be humble. You see, Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, brings to an end us thinking that we're good enough. It brings to an end us ever daring to think that we might be better than somebody else. Because the name Emmanuel, God with us, tells us that you and I could never get to heaven on our own. God had to come to us. He entered our world in order that we could enter His world. Head down West Street, CLC Bookshop. They got that big slogan in the front of their bookshop. And on Friday night, the biggest party night in Sheffield, I was out there with the street pastors, and a whole bunch of youths were hanging around half drunk outside that shop and reading that phrase and talking about it. God entered the mess of our world, the drunken, foolish stupor of our world, so that we, foolish, sinful rebels could enter his world. Isn't that not wonderful? Be humble this Christmas, would you? There may be some other ways that you want to follow things up. On the 14th of January, we start Christianity Explored. James and Louise Viner will be running that. That may be somebody that you know that you want to invite along. Pick up one of these leaflets on the table over there. Crofty was leading us through prayer earlier on around gold and frankincense and myrrh, and he put together a little leaflet around the subject of gold. Jessica Ennis in Sheffield and Yorkshire doing better than Australia in the Olympics earlier in the year. But how does gold relate to Jesus? Pick up one of those little leaflets. Have a little bit of a think about Jesus from that perspective. And we've still got a few of these special Christmas gifts. There's some under the tree over there. There's some on the table at the back there. If you've never read what is in here, then I encourage you to do so. It is, I think, the best gift that you could receive this Christmas time. You'll find a little bookmark in it, which will tell you that it's in the place where you could begin reading. Take it, one of these. Start reading it today as you're waiting for your Christmas lunch. I encourage you to do that. We're going to sing some words, but I just want to use them as some words of reflection. Our musicians are going to come out. Some words from our final hymn, and let's just own these in our hearts, thoughtfully, prayerfully, humbly, and thankfully. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them, us, second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Let's stand and let's sing.